first things first. You tell me, my name is Mohammed, by the way. I'm a student, well, ex-student now. I've graduated many years ago. So yeah, I'm here volunteering for Roy. Could you tell me what your name is and where were you born?
My name is Sughra Mohammed, that's S-U-G-H-R-A, and surname is M-U-H-A-W-M-E-D. I was born in India.
What part of India?
Ludhiana.
Can you explain where that is and what it was like, what you remember of it?
I don't remember anything because I was little, then partition happened. And because that was in the process, my parents decided to come to Pakistan and settle down in Pakistan before everything got loose. And that's how come we were safe. We didn't sort of join other people in the queue, in a lot of killing and division and so on. So we were, I think about 2 years before partition, we were in Pakistan.
So do you remember where you grew up? So beyond India, do you remember where you grew up, what it was like being a young teenager or anything like that? Could you tell me a bit about it?
Yes, my parents, they were very, very strict, especially my father, my two brothers. One was younger than me. The other one was older than me, wasn't allowed to go out, wasn't allowed to do anything. And school was right opposite the house. I wasn't allowed to go to school. My father was saying, if you don't want to do anything, no problem. Just pull up or something and have a lie down. That was his attitude towards freedom for me. And yet my brothers, they were out all the time, and which made me very jealous.
What was it like growing up in your household and with brothers, one older, one younger? What games did you play? How did you have fun together inside the house? You know, did you have any hobbies or did you play any sort of games?
Brothers, they were out nearly all the time. So I was only daughter, and I had to fend myself. I used to make dolls. I used to start sewing things. Then mom said to do some embroidery. So I started on that. I stitched my shirt in it, then cut my shirt to save the embroidery. So that's my childhood.
A very practical childhood.
Yeah.
Yes. So what, can you tell me maybe a fond memory you have of your childhood? Something you remember that you cherish? It could be an event, it could be a scenario, it could be something you thought was just joyful in this way, for whatever reason.
First of all, when I was young, my mother died. 9 months later, my father and my older brother died. So time to remember everything is from 10 onward. 10 onward was nothing but pain. So my household was wealthy. There wasn't anything that they didn't provide for us. You know, happy, joyful, everything was there. My father made sure we had plenty of fruit, plenty of everything, and we had the land, and which was given to other people to farm, and they used to bring every morning sabzi. Do you know sabzi? Yeah. So bring home sabzi and other fruit and so on. So overall, before mom dying, household was happy. But afterward, it declined. It went downhill. And especially when my father and my older brother, they passed. And that was hard. So joyful, I don't know.
Not sure. Hard to find it.
hard to find.
Wow, how did you end up there then here then? How did you, let's talk about travel then. Let's talk about travel. How did you arrive in the UK? When did you arrive in the UK? And what were your early expectations? Can you try and recollect? You know, was it an inquest? Was it a mission? Was it nerves?
This was a marriage of convenience. My ex, I kicked him out of the house now. So my ex, he sort of wanted a land that was coming to me from my father. He wanted that. So I was just something in between. Initially, he wasn't going to bring me into this country, but then he changed his mind. He thought I might put some kind of a restriction or something towards the sale of the land. So he brought me with him. And of course, when I came here, it was midsummer, June. It was June. It was beautiful. It was lovely. Flowers everywhere, especially Bellevue Park. That was amazing. So that was the sort of a thing that I'd never seen before. I was overjoyed. And being a young, I had to manage with the children. First, I had one daughter. Within a year, same year, I had a second child, a son. So two children of same age, me being young, there wasn't anybody here who could teach me how to look after them, how to cook, how to clean. Because back home, I never did anything. So over here, it was a big shock. So slowly, slowly, I managed to get myself out of it.
I think you're one of the lucky ones to arrive in the heat. I think everyone has arrived in the cold. Everyone arrived in winter time, so it was a bit of a shock. You had the opposite experience.
You had
the opposite experience. You arrived in the summer.
I arrived in the summer.
But you eventually had a winter, though, eventually.
Oh, yes.
How old were you when you left the country, and how old were you when you arrived? Sorry, it's probably the same time. What was the most important thing you had to leave behind, and how did you feel about that?
Most important things, a thing that I left behind was my brother, my younger brother. He was only 11. So no mother, no father. I have to leave him there. That was very hard. Even to this day, I still, when I think about it, I well up.
If I ask anything that's a bit tough to answer, just
pass it.
Pass it. Yeah, really, it's not about recollecting pain. Mm. It's about just finding moments to put something on record. So if anything is too hard, please just I think it'd be best for yourself. Just pass it. I think. It must have been a tough decision to do that for any human being. That's a tough process.
And especially when you're not mature enough. And
do you have any more contact with Pakistan?
Yes, my younger brother, one I left behind. Alhamdulillah, he's doing very well. His family doing very well. He's got three daughters. Four sons, they all do it fantastically, and they, towards him, they're so caring, money in his pocket every week, looking after him, taking on holidays and things like that, what children should do, and they are proper family. Yeah, thank God, he's got a village of his own, with so many children.
Small village. So tell me about then arriving in the UK then. So you arrived in the UK, you said you went to Bellevue Park, which is an interesting memory.
Mm.
Tell me about some of the best things, let's say six months to 2 years, that kind of ballpark, early days arriving. Mm. Tell me some of the best things arriving and some of the worst things arriving.
Worst thing within 2 years, what I told you just now, you know, having a family at a young age, one after another, and didn't know how to look after them, how to feed them, and how to do the house chores and so on. That was worst thing. Best thing was nobody tend to bother you. You are free to do whatever you want to do, except there's you are under the thumb of a husband. But that was expected, and also in-laws and so on. There wasn't any of that. In-laws wasn't here, they were back home. So...
What's in-laws? In-laws?
In-laws.
In-laws, okay, in-laws, sorry.
In-laws.
Sure, yeah.
Sorry, I tend to eat some of the words.
No, it's okay, I understand now. So tell me around, let's start there then. So you remembered, you know, arriving in a place that felt very free, although you had commitments.
Hmm.
You know, what things did you do with your time that you couldn't get to do back home? Or, you know, what did you pick up any extra hobbies? Did you explore more? Did you meet new people? Tell me about those things. What did that freedom mean to you?
I'm sorry, there's more sorrow in my life than joy.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I wasn't allowed to go out. I was in the house, and luckily there was a lady living opposite, and she used to come now and then to borrow onion, borrow potatoes and things like that. That's the only person I made a friend with. And before that, with my first 6 months, TV used to come on in the morning and in the night. Night was a bit longer than morning, so I used to sit in front of it, learn English, taught myself English. And that's what you're listening to it now. Half broken, half good.
So I still understand you. Apart from the odd word here, I still understand you. How did you feel on arrival? Took that question. What do you remember of Newport?
When I came?
My early days. Within 5 years, let's say.
Transport bridge.
Icon.
And them days, people can go free without cars. And cars used to pay a little bit. And of course, instead of looking after children in the house, I used to take them out, spend a day with them, play with them, come home, and I start cooking. And that was, for me, that was freedom. And the children, in Pakistan, what happens, other people take care of your children, well as you do their children. Over here, there was nothing like that. And that was hard, but because of the parks, make a food for them, I had a three then. I made a food for them, take them with me as a picnic, set them down, let them play, do whatever they want. They can stretch themselves. And that's how first 5 years, toward the end, I was missing my brother very badly, and I wasn't allowed to go out of the house apart from these excursions to the park. And I wanted to go back. So my husband then booked me a ticket, one-way ticket, £50 to spend. I was there for 11 months. When I came back, I wasn't able to stand up. I was so exhausted. I was ill. When I went from here, you know, you go into depression and you tend to eat and eat and eat. Either eat or starve yourself. I ate and ate and ate. And I was with this size. And of course, when I came back, I was this size. That's in-laws, staying with in-laws.
So
I think I don't know. Skip it.
It's okay. What do you What do you enjoy or like about your culture or cultures? What is it you like about it? You remember, helps you reminisce. What is it you like about? Again, culture is a big word, isn't it? So, you know, I'm trying to think about what's unique about your heritage.
Mm.
And this topic is about maintaining links. And what it means is, the first question was, what do you miss most about the country?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of touched base a bit on that. So mm-hmm. the second was, what do you love most about your culture?
It's everybody being there, house being there, grew up there, and all uncles and aunties and everybody lived. My great granddad was 7 brothers, and they didn't have a sister. So out of 7, had a 5 had a children. So that particular village was from those 5 boys. And imagine everybody around you is related to you. And that is heaven. Okay, you don't go to their house, you don't talk to them, but nevertheless you hear from them, maybe your parents sitting down talking about, you know, so-and-so done this and so-and-so done that. In the evening there's a lot of news to listen to from dad, from mom. So, yeah, that was joyful.
What have you maintained then of that culture? Maybe religious practice, maybe just habits in the family household, or traditions or customs? Is there anything you've maintained?
Yeah, everything. Over here, I've been here since 1966. Friend I made, they still with me. Even now, they're same as me, older, those two outside. And, you know, because I was third woman in Newport, 1966, in Asian heritage.
Who was the first? Was it them two?
They came after.
Okay.
They came after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you describe when you found Major Life?
While ago, initially when they started, they used to meet in a library, or some people disagrees with me, but I got witnesses. Yeah, used to meet in the library once a fortnight and so on. Then this, I've forgotten her name now, she took over. She was African heritage. She took over. She became a sort of manager of the group. From there, after that, Roy came in. Roy really worked hard. Absolutely, you know, he given all spare moments of his life to this, to make it success.
What attracted you to the group? Tell us about your involvement in Virgil.
As I say, I've been here a long time. There was Talim al-Nisa, which is education for women, and there were several other groups similar. I was chair of 5 different groups, and when this opened, I wanted to be in this as well. So that's how come I ended up here with the 50 plus, because I didn't want to sit at home. Brain tend to go fuzzy, so be out and about, talk to people, learn from them, teach them.
So what does it mean to you then, to be involved with Major Life?
A lot. A piece of mind you get from it, different thing you learn from it, you learn how to get on with the others. In fact, all of the group, because ethnic minority, initially we started with Ashiana. I don't know whether you heard or not. There was me, Rachel, and few others. And we started Ashiana. Before that, I started, me and Rahira, we started with age concern. We were first ethnic minority to have a proper job in Newport to help ethnic minority. And from there on, it grew and grew. And we had a few fights as well, neighborhood mothers. They came over, they say, telling our daughter-in-law to misbehave towards us. Basically, they was losing powers over their daughter-in-laws. And they thought, we were just telling them their rights. You know what rights are. They don't have to be tied to a machine. They don't have to be tied to a kitchen sink. They got rights. But thank God, it's doing fine. And education, that was another thing I took on with the, I've forgotten the name now. On a store hill, there was this guy, I've forgotten all. Education-wise, I initially went to, because I couldn't read or write, speaking, okay. And I went to library, Penn Library, learned, was with them for 1 month, and they say, sorry, we can't teach you, you're too fast. They sent me to this other guy, Diamond? No. Some Gem.
Gems.
And then I went to Gems. I told them my capabilities. I told them I can't read or write. And they said, sorry, we can't take you on. You can't read or write. I said, okay, fine. Went back home. Same night, Rachel and with another lady, they came to my door to invite me back to Gems. And within 2 years, my pictures were everywhere, and a lot of publicity, a lot of people from home, people who thought they didn't have the time, they start coming out, learning English, learning other things. And from then on, it's excelled, yeah. I'm sure I've missed quite a few bits and pieces, but that's me.
So what has being here aided you in becoming the woman you are today? Big question. It sounds like you've had a lot of hardship, but it sounds like the freedom and liberties have also made you quite strong in ways.
Yeah.
That's my, from the outsider perspective. You tell me.
Yeah, exactly. Because my marriage was an unhappy marriage. Financial control he had. I didn't have the money, so I needed to work. When my children were little, I handed them to somebody else for a couple of hours. What I went to, there used to be a black closet. It's closed down and their house is there now. And I used to go there and do cleaning. From that money, I used to buy children's clothing or anything extra that I need. And thank God, I had the ability to push myself. Ability to go beyond. Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. I'm religious. I done my Hajj. I pray 5 times. I stay on the right path. I don't like gossip. I do it time to time, but
everybody's a victim.
Yeah, and I do help a lot of people. Whatever they need. Sometimes it's finance, sometimes otherwise. Don't put that in there. I don't brag.
You don't what?
Bragging.
Right. So take out the money comment.
Money comment, please.
Remove money comment. That's fine. I can do that. So tell me about, I understand you've got a brother over there still.
Hmm.
Memorabilia, mementos, connections to your upbringing. Do you have fragments of information that you still look upon? Photographs? Do you have letters? Do you have Anything that reminds you of those times?
Since I divorced from my ex and moved from that house to a different house, a lot of stuff stayed behind, didn't come with me. But anyway, there was a minimum amount of stuff. And all the memories are here, and of course, getting older and dementia setting in, and fun time.
The reason I asked as well, because this, the People's Collection is a giant website of thousands of stories from many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the People's Collection because it's not
it's
not owned by anyone.
Okay.
You have rights to your information. You can take it down if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the form will be about. There is space for multimedia content. So we have audio.
Mm-hmm.
This will be typed up into transcript. But there are spaces for photographs. There are spaces for scan. We can do all that here.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to add anything, you can.
I'm not a fan of photos.
It's okay.
Very rare photo here and there. And
okay. How about letters or items?
Letters,
or
I don't have any.
Mementos or anything like that?
Letters, I don't have any from early.
I find early was always hard because we have to realize back in the 60s, having a camera is very expensive.
Definitely.
You know, very few people had a camera.
Yeah.
Unless you were a very rich family. Yeah. And that's, and even, you know, English or Welsh people that were back then just didn't have a lot. So it's always hard to have anything early. But the point is where this story would sit and edited and typed, would, there's space for other stuff if you want to. Just to give it what?
There's a photo of my mother.
That would be beautiful.
I do cherish that.
That would be beautiful because the reason is those are the things that disappear. Over time, you know, oxygen kicks in. They oxidize, they fragment, and they start falling apart.
Yeah.
So it's good to kind of preserve those in digital means because actually they'll last thousands of years in theory.
Yeah.
But if you would like to, again, we'll get your contact details and there'll be space.
Okay.
Should I write that as an idea? There could be a portrait, family portrait?
No family, just mother.
Sorry, mother portrait. Mother.
She was spinning one day and a brother came from outside and all of a sudden he snapped one while she was sitting. Then she stood up and he snapped another two photos. And they are those two.
Mm.
One I got, one my brother had. He keeps on having them colored, having them this, and
sure.
Having them, I suppose, preserving.
It's a form of preservation, yeah.
Yeah.
Is the photograph in a good condition?
I think so.
Yeah, that's good.
Because
we can also get some cleaning up
done
on photographs if they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, I'll ask the majority of questions here. Let me see if I missed anything. Is there anything you would like to say or state as a question to yourself? A question. Again, this is a record. Anything you would like to leave that may be viewed in 30, 40, 50, 100 years' time that you'd like to put on record about your experience of, as you said, a young girl that arrived in the UK, probably a bit too young, but.
I didn't want to mention my age.
You don't want to mention your age?
Yeah.
You didn't actually tell your age.
Hmm?
I don't think you've actually said your age.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is there anything you like else you'd like to put on record or something?
Basically, my message to everybody and to myself is carry on regardless.
Concise. So if your great 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 grandkids come back and they find out there's a research portal and they said
carry on regardless.
There we go. Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
If you think it's not appropriate,
that's more than it's your decision. It's your image,
and
it's a fragment of, you know, what messages you want to leave. Mm. It's all up to you. It's not.
It's basically a message that I want to leave is don't let anybody put you down, and be truthful, be upright. Don't hurt anybody, don't let anybody hurt you.
Thank you very much. That's it, really. We've gone through all the questions. I mean, the bit about early experiences, I've skipped a little bit. Okay. Since it was getting hard, so we will skip that.
I haven't told you the whole story yet, sure. And you're already feeling it.
Yeah. But again, it's all up to you. It's not
No.
Not something I'm going to push.
I don't want that. Okay. I don't want to...
You don't want to put that on record?
I don't want people to cry.
We all do cry. But that's it, really. I mean, at this point now, your name was spelled S-U-G-H-R-A.
Yeah.
S-U-G-H-R-A. And Muhammad with a U.
U.
E-D. And what was your address, sorry?
It's 41 Corporation Road.
Corporation Road.
Newport.
Yeah, postcode.
NP19 0AY.
Phone number?
07-954-682936.
Do you have an email address?
Sugra, S-U-G-H-R-A, 41 at hotmail.com.
With Fez in Age Live Office. The day is 14th of the 8th, 23. I'm just going to sign here. And you've already noted, and it's been on your list here, of things you don't want. So anything about money, I'll take off. There's possibly a photograph we could chase up later with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, this sensitive interview, be mindful. So, you know, anything like that, I'll cut out for you.
Okay. So now is my turn. Where do you live?
So I live in Maindy, but I wasn't born here. I was born in South England.
All right.
So Bangladeshi descent.
Mm-hmm.
And my family live Southampton, Portsmouth, and London.
Oh.
And Plymouth as well, actually, longer south. But I moved here to study.
Oh, right, okay.
And my studies have led